I was moving too fast. I had a left foot. But I was in sales, and time is money. That's the old adage, you know. So I took that to heart, I think, too much.
You have went to Polk State, and you were in business administration and management?
Right, correct. The first couple of years, it was tough. I mean, a lot of times, like you see when you first start out the business, and I had to learn a lot of things, which then propelled the business long-term into where we are today.
I mean, this dude finished $47 million last year. I think you hit, like you said, you hit right on the mark, 100 employees. Tracking $65 million this year. Still a privately held dude, like still doing his own thing.
Because I think that's where the bottleneck is in most businesses, is the owner themselves just doesn't, they don't get out of the way like they should and get those key people that look, so they can thrive and start the business, start to scale. When you can cast that vision to those correct people and they see your vision, and when you have that mindset and everybody's rowing in the same direction and in the key spot, you could really start to scale and move the business. Just wanting to always want to get better and you know, be better tomorrow than I was today. And when you can get that mindset throughout the business, throughout those key people that are in key spots, that's again, that's when they're starting to take the initiative and self-develop themselves, it can move that much faster. And I think that's what we've been able to see some of the success the last several years.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris, fresh off of our vacation from Stagecoach. Great time, man. Chad was down playing golf. That was it? It was the last, you were there last weekend though, right? Not this past weekend?
Yeah, we were actually there last week. So I got back like Saturday morning.
Which ironically is down, Chad was out playing golf with his college buddies where our guest Mike is from that area down there. So this is going to be a fun podcast. It's going to be a really fun podcast. Only because I have some really solid dad jokes, but other than that, we'll struggle through the rest of it, but we'll make do. Now we have an exciting guest on today, a customer of ours, which is great, friend of mine, Mike Bruner, who is a owner and partner of Iceberg Home Services down in, you're like in between Tampa and Orlando ish, like, so you're serving that whole area down there. Started the company back in 2014. You have a partner in the business, Jason.
Yep. Yes.
Is it Jason?
Yeah.
Got it. So, and it's an exciting little journey in these last, 11 years you've had. Quite the journey you've had in these last 11 years. You've been to a few Rhino X events. You've been to two.
Yes, correct.
Two. Okay, yeah, the last two. Got it. But we're going to kind of go through all of the stuff, your journey, and some of the things that I've learned about you and what I think that you've been good at. And then thankfully, when I listened to, like I said, one of your old podcasts, I heard some things I didn't know. Which is great, because then it kind of sent me down a little bit of a rabbit hole as I was doing some prep this morning for it. So the good news is you're kind of an open book. So we're going to be able to talk about a lot of good stuff. You know what? Today's an exciting day, gentlemen. You might not notice this or not, but it's actually our 17th, Anna and I's, our 17th anniversary since starting the company Rhino. Wow. 17th anniversary. So that's pretty exciting news for us. I mean, I've made it 17 years in the exact same industry.
That's good. When's your wedding anniversary?
Chad?
What? I just thought I'd ask.
He wasn't prepped for that one. So he's going to find out when that is.
Peterman, you son of a bitch. Picking a good thing. It's June 9th. June 9th.
Why'd you keep looking off the screen? Like, what's
your name? You got it written down somewhere.
Can you remind me?
Yeah. God. Thank God she doesn't listen to these episodes. You made me look like an asshole just now. You know what?
That's fine. Setting you up. I'm going to tell her to listen to the first part.
My anniversary is April 24. That was the only thing, I think it was the only thing I did get to pick for when I got married to my wife was the date. And I wanted to pick a date that I would remember. So I just did the 4/24. It happened to be on a Saturday we were looking at. And That's the only thing I got to pick for our wedding and that time, but it's something that hopefully I'll never forget is the date. It's the 4/24.
That works out perfect. That was smart. I didn't put that kind of thought into it. June 9th, 2006, because we're coming up on our 20th year anniversary.
Wow. We just celebrated our 15 last week. Actually,
there you go, man. Congratulations. That's a big deal.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a big deal because this shit's not easy.
No.
Especially being married to entrepreneurs.
Yeah, especially within business, doing growing business at the same time. It's, yeah.
I just want to put it out there for any of those who are watching on YouTube today, instead of just listening, that my eyes do look a little glossy. It is not because I'm hungover. I actually got back from Stagecoach yesterday, fairly early. But anybody who follows me on social media, I made some posts. It was, of the 4 years I've been, it was like you're in the middle of the desert. It was so dusty and the wind was blowing so hard that even with like the little gaiters, you know, like little bandanas put over your face, like even that was, you get back and you just like are covered like dirt. You're picking dirt out of your ears and your nose, blowing, sneezing out dirt. I'm still doing it to this day. So we had a big group of us. We got, you know, I know all you guys know Tommy. I mean, like, you know, Tommy, and followed him for quite a while. Getting Tommy Mello to a 3-day country music festival was pretty entertaining. We had the best time, but some of us made it a little bit longer than Mr. Thomas Mello did. he did not get to his attention for that was only so short. But actually, we had some really great conversations, like, and it was just good. We did an Airbnb, kind of did the whole thing. It was really fun. The older I get, you know, I'm gonna be 46 tomorrow. I'll be 46 tomorrow, April 30th, I guess. When we record this, April 30th is my birthday. So the older I get, the longer recovery becomes. So I can't just go hard in the paint as like I used to. Voice is struggling a little bit today again, only because of the weather. And, you know, and I sang a lot because there's a lot of great artists there. Mike, I know you love music, man.
Oh yeah.
It was cool because Garth Brooks came out at the end with Luke Combs, you know, which was a big surprise, and sang Friends.
Oh, that was great.
That was pretty sweet. But I'm an old school country guy, so I love Tracy Lawrence came out. He was great. Goo Goo Dolls were playing this year, which is awesome. And I've never seen them live. They were great. Chad's favorite was there. They closed out the last night. We didn't stick around for it. I should have, you know, out of respect for Chad. But the Backstreet Boys were playing. Closed it out. And, you know, it's one of Chad's lifelong dreams was to be a Backstreet Boy.
Right. Can't sing nor dance, but here I am.
If you had to do one of the two, what do you think you're better at?
God. It's a low bar. It's a low bar.
You kind of strike me as maybe a Swiftie too, though. I mean,
my daughter's a big fan, so we jam out to that in the mornings on the way to school every once in a while.
Well, we definitely know he's a Timberlake fan.
Yeah, he's been to that concert.
Missed a podcast for it, so.
Yeah.
But we had a good time, you know, excited to kind of get back and get to work, you know, here at Rhino. And I was looking forward to this episode, man, just finally getting you booked and to do our thing. And, you know, to continue the good time, you know, for Chad and our listeners, and for you, Mike, because I know you appreciate that, is we're going to roll into a few dad jokes. Joy. Okay. And by the way, we're starting to get more people sending them to us. So I love when our listeners actually send us their dad jokes. Some of them I can't actually read on this podcast. So I appreciate those who sent me the ones I can't read, because it takes a lot for me to not be able to share a dad joke. Some of these are a little out there.
Do you think most listeners send them to you because they're not thrilled with the ones you've had to try to improve?
I don't know. I mean, possibly.
I'd say if Weldon can tell his, we could tell just about wide it. Open. Yeah, there's no holds barred.
That was pretty good.
He didn't really ask, but he told
right,
it
yeah, nonetheless. He just came out with it. And he ain't going to either. He's not
the type of guy. And we also didn't bleep it out. So like we let it rip. Yeah. So okay, well, I'm gonna read these to you. They won't be as good as Weldon's, but we're gonna go. Okay. Okay, what did one Dorito farmer say to the other? What did one Dorito farmer, I didn't even know there were Dorito farmers. This is definitely not real. Okay, there's not such thing as Dorito farmer. What does one Dorito farmer say to the other? Don't be Googling that shit, Chad.
I'm not Googling it.
It's got to be something like the joke, cheesy something or something. Is it?
Cool Ranch. Hey, Cool Ranch. When does a dad joke become a dad joke?
When it gets on the To The Point podcast.
That's a good answer, Mike, but incorrect. It is when it becomes apparent. Last one. What kind of music do chiropractors like? I practiced this.
Break something?
No, break something?
Dance? Break me?
They like hip hop. Hip hop. Hip hop. The delivery was everything on this one, so I tried not to mess that one up. Hey, speaking of hip hop, Mike likes hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't say hip hop. I said hip pop. Okay, moving on. I killed way too much time in the beginning of this one already. I apologize to everybody listening. Okay, we are going to jump into this whole thing. It's exciting, man, because this is my guy Mike has built a great company. You fly under the radar. I don't know if this is on purpose or what, but you fly under the radar a little bit. I mean, this dude finished $47 million last year. I think you hit, like you said, you hit right on the mark, 100 employees. Tracking $65 million this year in the great state of Florida. Still a privately held dude, like still doing his own thing. Started the company back in 2014. So it's like we're talking a pretty awesome 11-year journey. But these last few years, man, you've been on absolute fire. And you've made some shifts in your life. You made some health changes in your life. Like you've always been I want to go back to a little bit of the beginning. I think it always kind of tells part of your story, gives everybody an idea of like, hey, you're just like the rest of us, just trying to figure shit out along the way. But I love that when I was listening to one of your episodes one of the podcasts you did with Ryan, that you were talking about you were a professional poker player when you were just a young buck, 23. And it was a hard pivot because I was like, wait, where the hell did that come into the story? Because here you are. Okay, let me just take you guys back. This is – he's not just the pride of Polk State or Frostbite junior, senior high school. Go Bulldogs. Now, is it Frostbite? Was that the hell it was?
Frostproof.
Whatever. Yeah. Okay, Frostproof. Frostbite, whatever.
Funny, there's a restaurant that actually is called Frostbite in Frostproof. But
okay, well, that's not confusing at all. But you had you were talking about and by the way, I said Polk State, not Polk High for you Al Bundy fans. Okay, way different. But you lost your license too at one point. Like you're kind of hard to go and be an air conditioning salesperson if you don't have a license to get there. Now, Chad and you guys have probably recognized a few of these things in your recruiting process. And there's usually a couple of things that trip people up from becoming employees. And usually when you don't have a driver's license, that's one of them. And a criminal record is probably the other. There's a few of those things that get in the way. But kind of hard to go and make money if you lose your license because somebody here had a lead foot, got too many speeding tickets. So I looked at it as you're probably just trying to get to your customers faster, right? Like you're just trying to get there so you can get some sales in. You just, you know, needed to have that third eye, third ear looking around for the, you know, for the popo, man. So didn't you have a Fuzzbuster back in the day? You guys remember those things, those radar detectors?
Yeah, I think I was moving too fast by the time that really went off and alerted me in time. So it didn't really work out for me too well. But so, I've had a lead foot but I was in sales and time is money. That's the old adage, you know, so I took that to heart, I think too much.
So you went to, when you were an athlete, I heard you say you did some coaching and stuff like that too, which kind of tells me a little bit about you already, on the coaching side of it, but you had went to Polk State and you were in business administration and management, right? Is that what you were majoring in? You made it for what, like 3 years or something like that before you end up leaving, but you went for, you know, business. You went to business school.
Right. Correct.
And then your brother was and maybe still is in air conditioning sales and was like an exceptional, you know, salesman, which, you know, gave you the thought of like, hey man, he's doing really well, making a lot of money, you know, and maybe this is something that, you know, that I could do. But was it when you were in college, is that when you were also a server? Like when you're being when you're a waiter?
Right. Yes. Yeah. So, that's how I filled the void in between.
Got it. And that's where you met. That's where you met your wife, Brittany, yep. Right?
Brandy.
God, I'm fucking everything up. Brandy. So maybe there is a little bit left over from stage coach. Now I think about it. But you met her there. So you started learning some of your customer service skills though, as a waiter, which you attribute to like some of your success today and just being able to, you know, have good customer service in the way that you have led in your business too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All the way from back in the day. Just from back in the day. So, but here's where I'm having a hard time with the pivot. Is the pivot to becoming a professional poker player is one that's throwing me off, because you moved straight to Vegas to do this.
Yeah.
And then you live like the rock star poker player thing. And she stayed with you.
Yeah. I still don't know why for some days and what the reason was behind that. But luckily, yeah, she did. And the reason to move to Vegas at the time, I mean, this was, and it feels like forever ago, but this was before Florida allowed legalized gambling. So to really make it in quote unquote the poker world, it was you had to be where the action was at, and that's why the move to Vegas happened at that time.
And you were that good, huh? You're...
Yeah, I was pretty good. Still am, but it's it was a career for me at one time, and if it wasn't for a lot of the other issues outside of it, who knows where I'd be without.
Well, it's all part of the journey, man. I just was curious how the hell that came into it. So let's go ahead and just jump into the story a little bit too. You guys heard me say, I mean, he's tracking $65 million this year, still doing it private. He's multi-trade. You know, I don't remember if you started with HVAC or plumbing, you're doing septic, you know, septic as well. Like, but maybe let's do this. Okay. You're getting into it, into your own business. Interesting story. We'll tie back together with your brother later, because Chad will absolutely relate to this in a different way, but having your brother in the business. But maybe just take us into, okay, 2014, you know, I mentioned you did sales, right? So let's just jump into what this journey looks like from 14 all the way through today. Cause really in 2019, you were sitting at like $5.5 million, but $5.5 million in revenue with like 20 employees and 18, I think you said 19, 20 employees. So let's kind of jump into these little gaps and start to learn like what you were doing. So did you start with HVAC? What did you start with?
Yeah. So my background is HVAC. So that was how we started. And that's just what I knew at the time, and really got into, wanted to get to where we were starting my own thing, because I worked for several different HVAC companies before that, and plumbing and so forth, and just kind of worked my way up in the management in different positions. But then when we had the opportunity to start Iceberg, that was, it kind of came back to the area that I was kind of from. And that was always kind of a goal, was to get something started for myself and ourselves in the kind of our hometown. So we just kind of went for it. And we were kind of humble at the beginning, and just learning through the growing pains of business. The first couple of years, it was tough. I mean, a lot of times, like you see when you first start out the business, and had to learn a lot of things, which then propelled the business long-term into where we are today. But when we finally got key people in the right spots, that's when the business really started to scale and take off. And again, learning through that whole process was when it started to really fly.
Is Brandy in the business?
No.
Okay.
We cannot work together by design. She has a photography business that she kind of was doing at the same time and does really well with that, and did really well with that. And then when we decided, we have a couple little girls now, when we have started the family and the whole thing, we were able to retire her. She does a lot of schooling with the kids and all that, and was able to focus on all that. But no, we're too headstrong against each other, so we would not work together well in business. Now in our marriage and everything, we do great. So
yeah, Mike, you met my wife, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So same, like we're both very, very A type, very, you know, headstrong. She is smarter than me, so I hear me say that out loud. She is smarter than me. Just ask Chad; he'll let you know she's smarter than me. But you know, we do work together, right? And we had to like have that fine line on, we knew who was like a 1A and a 1B in what situation. And once we got there, we were like pretty solid. Like we stayed in our lanes. Not that we didn't have disagreements, because we certainly have had disagreements. Sure. And we still have disagreements, but If it's, you know, if it's in her world, she gets to make the call. If it's my world, well, you know, you're still privately held. Chad's still privately held. I'm not. So it is weird how that relationship plays into it when you now have a board, you know, and you're in a private equity relationship, and like, what are your roles? Because they're now no longer, you're in control of your roles. And what's interesting about this is, and where I was going with it is, you learn, like I've learned the last couple of years on reporting to a board, that absolutely we know how to run these businesses, even at scale, because it still kind of comes down to like the systems and processes and the people in these businesses, right? Like the leadership that you have that are managing these systems and processes and the culture and all this fun stuff. But what's cool about this and why I'm mentioning it is, by the time this podcast episode airs, you know, rolls out, you guys will see a press release come out. And the press release that's coming out is letting the world know that Anna Yano is the president of Home Services and is taking over day-to-day operations of the entire business. So we're kind of getting back into like our, you know, old school leadership roles on the shit that we love to do and getting more, you know, which is great because we wanted to, right? But private equity controls, you know, that. So even though we've built and grown and got a lot of cool technology and all this fun stuff, it's just weird because you kind of get moved out from this leadership position and, you know, and at least in the capacity that you like to do it. So that's exciting news, man. And we're looking forward to, you know, kind of getting, you know, all in and having fun with this thing again. But you, and this is always like the nervous part about, you know, when you bring on a private equity partner, right? Like that's probably why you can stay private and you're like, cool, I don't have to worry about that shit.
Yeah. I think there's pros and cons to both sides. And I think I'm not against private equity. I think private equity can be a really great thing. I know a lot of people that, have went into that side of it, and I think the partnership side of things within that is probably the most key role to look at when you go to that point of the business. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, I think private equity is a great thing for our industry if it's done the right way on both sides, the private side of moving into that role, and then the private equity group being able to still have that relationship or a great working relationship with the owner.
Okay. I derailed us. I apologize. Were you getting ready to say something, Chad, and I just cut you off?
No, I was just going to, I was going to let Mike talk for a touch, just for a second, with a pose a question to him. I'm just,
that was a subtle jab.
Yeah. I've never taken one on this show. No, Mike, I think what I'd like to dive into, so like obviously like explosive growth and congrats to you and your team. You know, you mentioned, you know, getting the right people in place at 100%. I would say that all day long, you know, but I think for listeners, yeah, that sounds great in theory. Where do I find these people? What were some of the things that you kind of did from your seat? Like, yeah, I found the right person, but obviously you got to surround them with certain resources, certain support, all of this stuff. What were some of those things you did maybe between kind of 19 and today that you feel were kind of like keys to your guys's like the growth that you've seen?
Yeah, I think you have to change your mindset to where you have to start being in a recruiting mode, because to top grade your business and to get the talented people in the right spots, first of all, you got to know what spots that you have to have those key people in. And you got to be open from an owner standpoint, have the mindset that you have to move out of the way a lot of times, because I think that's where the bottleneck is in most businesses, is the owner themselves just doesn't, they don't get out of the way like they should and get those key people that look, so they can thrive and start the business, start to scale. But when you get in that recruitment mode to go look at and search out the right people, you have to have everything aligned for that person to come in your organization. So the culture's got to be there. All the benefits, obviously, all those things have to align with the vision that you have. And when you can cast that vision to those correct people, and they see, they have to have the owner mindset that you have, you know, when you're running it, they have to see your vision to be able to be there with you. And you have to have the relationship with them that you have to have the same mindset as I have as an owner. Like, you're not, don't look at it as your employee. Let's look at it as we're working together to strive to go to this point in the business. And when you have that mindset and everybody's rowing in the same direction and in the key spot, you could really start to scale and move the business and faster at a faster rate than you could, obviously, if you're by yourself, you have a lot more output.
Yeah. No, I think that's such a key point. And I 100% agree with you. You know, when I talk to people who, we've hit this wall, we can't get over it. And I you know, candidly say, hey, you may need to look in the mirror. Because oftentimes that is the problem is, you know, you have to trust people. There's a reason that businesses are small and some that scale. And the small ones, it's because the owner wants to control every little thing about the business and no one can do it as good as they can do it. So by God, I could never trust anybody to do it. And it's like, you got to be okay with them maybe not making the same decision, but at the end of the day, your decisions aren't always the right ones.
Right. Yeah. And I think part of it too, is you have to allow that person to even fail certain times, as long as they learn from the failures and continue to move. And as long as you get from those decisions and you discuss them, how you don't make those failures again, but you can, again, you get more output when you have a lot more people rowing in the same direction instead of you trying to do everything, because you have a ceiling, you hold a wall at that point, like you said, and you see it all the time, and companies struggle with that certain times, and it's a mindset thing. And I think from the owner standpoint, at that point, you have to sit back and you have to change your mindset to continue to work on those people. Like, if you work on the people, they will work on your business. So you work on the self-development to how they get the mindset to the owner mindset to get to the next level, to scale the business. And then you just get out of the way and let them do their thing a lot of times.
I can't remember if you mentioned this to me, if I heard this, but kind of along those lines, you mentioned one of the first books that you read, or I think an early book that you read, was Rocket Fuel.
Yes.
And it was around visionary roles and integrator roles.
Correct. Right?
Like, just kind of understanding that. Maybe just talk about, you know, how you, when you read that, like, how did you, like, how did that go ahead and translate into the business? What did you do with it? Like, reading it, what did you do with it?
That's one of those light switch moments in the business, I think, was when I read that book. It was, I read it pretty quickly because I just couldn't put it down. And I had our key people read it, like, and we all read it within a weekend. But I think that describes the visionary integrator role, and it puts into perspective that that's, to me, and I still, from that book, I think it's the most important roles that you have to figure out before your business goes to the next level, before you can start to scale. And then when you look at, now, like, everything I look at within the relationships of our business is the visionary and integrator role. They have to work together so well, and because their mindsets are different and they feed off things differently. But you have to build a business with those roles complementing each other. If you have two visionaries working on an assignment or whatever, a project, it's not going to go well compared to a visionary and an integrator. So it made me really step back, look at the organization we had, who was I deemed visionary or integrator, and how they work together, and how you pair those up. And then we went through, that was part of just the self-development side of, we read a lot of books, and, you know, we bring that to our team of everybody reading, and you take, there's a test that they have and all that. That's, where do you feel you are on the visionary side of an integrator? And it kind of opens their eyes a lot of times too, to when they're day to day and when they're working within the business, who they're working beside and why they might not work beside another visionary or integrator, whatever they are. And it really shows that in a great, great way.
Yeah. Mike, with the growth, I guess, in conjunction with your emphasis on leadership development, have you, while you try to develop people as much as you possibly can, have you seen where the business has outgrown certain people? And even though those people have gotten you to a certain level and you love those people to death and they're great friends and, you know, you do anything for them, it's, they've hit their ceiling. And how have you dealt with that? Or, you know, do you feel like you've dealt with it at the right time? Has it been a little late?
What do you kind of feel? I think, well, we've definitely seen that. We see that regularly certain times throughout the business too, but I think I've personally had to learn how to deal with those situations, because a lot of those situations are ones that maybe have been with you for a while. They're just the business, again, has outgrown them when you want to continue to move to the next level. So you have to have that conversation with them and explain them. And most of the time, when we sit down and have that conversation with that person that, look, you're doing great in this role, but to continue to move up, you're going to have to do something on your own. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to do this. And then there's a window of time period that they really get to, and it's a short period. And I feel like if the person has the right mindset and the willing to learn, first of all, then we have to set them up for success as a business. And if we can do that, a lot of times you can grow people into different roles, but also they can realize or figure out themselves and that they might not be best for the company. At the end of the day, it's what's best for the company. What's the business decision that needs to be made, and what role are they going to be best fit for the business? And when they can come to that realization, it's a really good thing, because then you're continue to row in that same direction. But the tough conversations has to be had. In certain times when we've had that, you have to sit down and this is it, when you cast a vision, you lay it all out for the person, and they don't understand it, they never will. And you got to either move past them or move them laterally within the business, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. I think you know, they can be labeled as tough conversations when it's like, hey, this is outgrowing you. I think in my experience, they're a hell of a lot tougher before you have them. And then when you sit down to have it,
yeah,
kind of both sides see, like, okay, well, I don't even know if I want to do this at that next level. Like, I think I'm good here. And so I think it's, you hit on an important point. And I think, you know, there's probably listeners out there that know that they need to have those conversations with people. And I think it's important to just address them head on. Like, hey, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm thinking. You know, is this something you even want to do? Are you, you know, excited? Here's where we're going. This is what I'm going to need this person to do. Or, you know, I'm gonna have to bring in someone above you, whatever that looks like. So I think it's a great point and a great call out as far as, you know, the people that got you to one point may or may not be the people that get you to the next one.
Yeah. We had a situation happen recently. It was a pretty cool moment for me to see that one of my managers came to me, and we had to move on past another manager and move to a different, you know, move him to a different position, and ultimately had to let him go. But another manager came in, and when you see the mindset that we have and we've created rub off on everybody, and everybody's, again, you know, moving in that same direction. The manager came to me, she was saying that we have done a great job here at Iceberg, that we set everybody else up. We set you up for success, that Iceberg doesn't fire people. You fire yourselves. And that really, when she told me that, it was like, yeah, this is really clicking for a lot of people. And that's true. It's the mindset that we have to, first of all, do all the work to set people up for success. And we do a good job with that. But if it's something that usually, and now it's 90%+ of the time, it's a failure on that person's, on their lane or whatever it is, and that they will be removed themselves, basically.
We did it. I think it was like maybe this time last year. Ann and I did a whole podcast on this and around the climbing the mountain journey. I mean, we have a lot of friends in this business, and thankfully a lot that are still with us, but some that aren't, right? Because even though like we were trying to pull them with us, you can only pull so much, right? And then different people have different views of where the business is at based on where they're at on the mountain, right? So they don't quite understand this decision because they don't have visibility to it. So, but those things, you know, happen. And I think it also comes down to a mindset shift. Like to Chad's point is if we're thinking too different, like, hey, they loved the business when it was smaller, right? Like, well, we're trying to grow it. If we're not in the same wavelength, like, yeah, then maybe it is the best time to leave. But those are listening. What I heard Chad saying is, and if you avoid that conversation, it's not like it's getting worse the longer it gets. Like it's getting better. It's getting worse. The longer you wait, the harder it is, the worse, you know, the potential outcome of that thing is with your actual personal relationship with this person. So you kind of got to hit that thing head on, because if you know in your gut, they probably know too. All right. So just have the conversation in a meaningful way. Another hard piece of this too, Mike, that you had to do is, man, like you had family, your brother was in the business and you ended up having to fire your brother. Like maybe, guaranteed somebody listening right now has had some similar conversation. And I know it can be a little bit of a tough topic to talk about, but I think it's an important one, right? Because I think a lot of people are impacted by the same thing. So maybe just talk about, you know, about that, right? Like about how, you know, that kind of like what, you know, how that came about. Cause I mean, you, it was great cause he's such a, you know, solid sales guy.
Sure.
But sometimes like, yeah, like
yeah,
something has to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really close. You know, he's an older brother to me, a few years older, and we lived together. We, you know, I was best man of his wedding and vice versa and all that. But yeah, he worked for us, with us for a couple of years, and he's still to this day a great salesman. He does HVAC sales, a little bit of a different market than where we're at now, but he does a great job. And he'll tell you too, I think he's learned through a lot of stuff too, that he's not the business kind of guy. He wants to just give me my calls, I'll go out and I'll make a bunch of money for the business and for myself. So the early days when we first started and he was just one of our sales guys, it just didn't vibe with how the business was structured and how we needed to be profitable and the backside of the business, which I think a lot of people in our industry just don't know, or it, you know, you got to learn through mistakes a lot of times. And that was something that we learned through, and we had to make that was one of those tough conversations. But like Chad's point, it when we finally had it, I think we were both on the same page that we needed to move on in our own right, you know, personally himself and then us with the business. And so for the last six, seven, 8 months, it was really, really tough. Just working environment, just it was kind of toxic. It wasn't really great working environment. But when we did make the decision and he moved on, we moved on, it ended up becoming like we should have done that a long time before that. And so it affected the relationship more short term than now. We're finally, we don't even talk business no more when we meet, which is kind of nice. It's back to family stuff. And when we see each other and hang out, it's how the kids, wife, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that was a tough time, because it was like one of my kind of guys I looked up to as just a brother. And we had to, it was tough. We had to just kind of part ways for a short period of time.
Yeah. Chad, I'm glad you guys haven't had to have that conversation, but like, the other byproduct of this too, is whether it's your friend or family, either one, is if other people know too, and like, they see like, maybe there's like, you have to walk that fine line of with your friends, and cause people are going to be thinking, if it wasn't you, if they weren't friends, or, if it wasn't family, like, then it looks bad. You know, then it looks bad on you as a leader and just letting it go. Like, that's such a sensitive thing, you know, to have to deal with. So you got to, you know, so beyond just your own personal relationship with that person, you got to think about everybody else who sees this thing from their perspective too, and what they're starting to think about you as a leader.
Right. From that point on, it was my mindset shifted to everything within the business is a business decision at the end of the day. And the 100 employees we have or so, that they all have family members. So instead of 100 employees, where any decision that's made for the business is affecting 400 so lives, and it, family aside, the decision for the business needs to outweigh it within the business. It needs to be the ultimate decision that is what's best for the business, not what's best for your family. And that's tough to find. I would say, you know, I would have a question for Chad. Like, I know you and your brother work really well together, and you run it together, run the business. Are you too different? Like, how you think? How does your relationship benefit the business? Obviously, with all the growth that you had, I mean, you have tough days, or has it just all been like you stay in your lane? Have you learned through that?
Yeah. So, great question. You know, we got really lucky, I guess, in the genetic library or the genetic lottery, in that neither of us really, I mean, we think a lot alike, but we don't like to do the same things. And so, you know, when it comes to the business, you know, he runs all of our sewer excavation, underground drains, all of that stuff. And that's like, he's really good at it. And like, that's his lane. And he still, you know, helps me with bigger decisions and what are we going to do here or what are we going to do there. And we talk, probably not as much as we should, but that's kind of our personalities in the first place. But mine's more on the visionary side of, you know, growing the business and so on and so forth. And I guess for me, I've just been so thankful that he's supportive of that, because it could have been very toxic in that, hey, I've got this vision, this is where I want to take it. And the whole time he's been like, hey, man, whatever you need me to do, like, you need me to do this? Okay, sounds good. And it's more so from my end, it's making sure that he feels included, right? Like, hey, you're still part of this. Like, you're still a huge part. Doesn't matter what you do. We've all, you know, over the course of history, we've all done a little bit of everything. Whatever needs to be done, I'll run a part. I'll, you know, help a guy do whatever it may be. So yeah, we've kind of, and I think to Chris's point, what he was talking about, he and Anna, like, we each have our own lane, and then we kind of made kind of guardrails that said, hey, these are your decisions to make. These are mine to make. If there's one that kind of maybe crosses over or whatever, then we'll talk about it. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to get in your lane. You don't get in mine, and we'll keep growing it. So it's, I think it is, you've got to understand what those roles are, and be very clear with them. And it goes back to, you know, the visionary integrator type mentality. You know, I wouldn't say we have that type of relationship where one of us is the visionary, one of us the integrator. It's more so we've just kind of found our roles within the business to hopefully drive it forward. And I think as long as you have the same goal of, hey, we want to take it here. Okay, well, what do I need to do that? It's not about a title. It's not about this or that. So yeah, it's worked out really well on that front. And we've had tough conversations, tough times, you know, gotten in disagreements, all of that fun stuff. But I think it all comes back to, hey, we're regardless of where we land on a decision, we're both trying to move this thing in the right direction.
Do you think that because of the way you guys think a little differently, that you look back at situations that, because y'all think so differently, the decisions that were made, if you wouldn't have had the way he looks at things, it maybe wouldn't have been as successful as like some of the decisions that were made and vice versa?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's always times when it's like, well, I think this is my idea and we're going to do this. And he's like, well, did we think about this? And I'm like, oh shit, that's a really good point. Okay. I didn't consider that one. I guess that's going to be kind of a hurdle. So yes, 100%. I think, you know, kind of the bouncing of ideas and I think too, that comes with growth, right? Is having healthy disagreement. You know, for the longest time, I think when you're growing early, it's very easy to have one point of view, and that's from who's ever in charge. And then as you start to bring in these really smart people, you start to get in all of these different perspectives from, you know, where they came from and what they've seen and so on and so forth. And it lends itself to making a better decision because you got to stop and think about it as opposed to, hey, we're just going to do it and go. It's like, well, let's think about everything and let's take a step back. And it's hard, I think, when you're trying to grow a business and you're the visionary. It's like, go fast, go fast, go fast. We're going to break things. It's fine. And that's okay. You can break things, but like maybe we just don't break them as bad. Or how do we minimize kind of, you know, the fallout of if this doesn't work? And so that's been one of my things to like adjust to. And you mentioned it earlier of like, you know, being able to get out of the way. And it's difficult sometimes because you have all this tribal knowledge, right? You've got, I have the memories and experiences from day one. Whereas people we brought in, you know, they may have only seen it for 2 years and it's like, hey, well, that may not work. We tried it, you know, 3 years ago before you were here and it, you know, whatever the case may be.
I think, one thing that I just noticed about both you two is, I know Mike, for you is one thing that you talk about is, move fast, fail faster. Mm-hmm. You know, but as you're doing that, you're doing it now, like you're jumping and building the parachute on the way down, but you got a really good idea that parachute is going to be really good, right? Like might not be perfect, but it's going to be good. And you're gonna hit the ground softly. And that's, I think, a common trait of a lot of our successful friends too, is like, everybody does move fast. Like, you know, I mean, and you know, you're going to like, some shit's not going to work, but you're going to figure it out too. One thing that's really interesting that I just was, for those who aren't watching or just listening, that I was just observing is the thing I was going to segue into about you, Mike, in particular next, was a little bit of your personal growth as the business has grown and to become a better leader. But one thing I noticed is, if you guys weren't just paying attention, is Mike flipped the script a little bit on us and he started interviewing, you know, us and Chad, because he's genuinely always trying to learn new things. And he's taking notes as he's asking Chad questions. Like, I love that you did that. That happens very rarely on these episodes. You took advantage of your time to, you know, ask Chad some of these questions. So I commend you for doing that. But it is who you are. Like, you go to these events and stuff like that, and like, you go with intent. You know, you're going to learn the things. You're reaching out to the people, and you've leveraged mentorship along the way and friends, you know, and listening to things, but then actually going, you know, and doing stuff with it. So you have mentors that you've, you know, that that you've, you know, leaned on, and maybe different ones kind of along the way. Maybe just talk about why you're doing, like why you're doing that. It's one thing to go to a mentor so you get a buddy, right? Because some people just want to be attached to the person. It's another thing to be attached to that person and actually like do something with that relationship and what they're giving to you. So maybe just talk about how, you know, like what, that's going to be number one. And then second, we're going to just talk a little about how your health has played into this whole thing, because you've kind of been on this little bit of a health journey, which plays into your five F's, which is different than my four F's. I think you just modified your own, which is perfect, exactly what you should do. But maybe just talk about who you are using as mentors and like what that person does for you, so that way people can hear what your thought process is like. In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp, deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, Housecall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads, capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
Hey, Chad Peterman here. I've been all in on Blue-on for quite a while now, and it's not just me. Contractors all over are seeing similar results. Tony at Just-In-Time Heating says their support calls dropped immediately once they rolled it out. His techs get reliable answers from Blue-on's AI faster than what they get from the OEMs. And their parts guy, he's loving it too. It's made his job way easier. They're saving time, solving problems quicker, and feeling more confident in the field. Blue-on's just become part of the process. And yeah, Peterman Brothers is definitely seeing that impact too. Click the link in the description and book a quick demo. You'll get it.
Yeah, I think first thing, you have to have the mindset that you always want to improve. And for me, it's the people that's a part of my tribe or the business, how to get them moving in a better spot. And it goes into like part of your legacy. Like, I want to leave this place better than I started. I want to get people to a place better, faster than I could do on my own. And I can't, because I can't do that on my own. I don't have all the knowledge in the world. So I have to be open to wanting to learn and to want to listen. So I've had mentors along the way. I think what the wrong mindset people have is, like I said, they look for buddies and friends and all this. And I think that's just a byproduct of the mentorship. Wow. that can evolve into. And I think the mentors themselves will see that sometimes. And they're like, well, they just want to hang out with me, and they're not really, I'm here to drive my business and to move forward and just be a better person. So the byproduct is some good relationships and friendships that I've been able to forge because of that. But reading and listening and like Tommy, and he's been one the last couple of years that's just came on really strong for me. And what I really like about him is he doesn't need to do it. And a lot of these great mentors don't. But when they see somebody that's really striving and wanting to improve their business and improve lifestyles and improve people's lives, then they're more open to wanting to help or wanting to lend information that they possibly have. So I've just been a sponge for several different ones. I go back to our early days, like even Weldon Long, we talked about him earlier. He's been one that I've listened to and communicated with a lot at different carrier events and different stuff too, that he was one of kind of my early days, and he's a little bit more hardcore on how he says some things. And some days, like, that's what I need, or that's what some people, that's how they react to is, you know, being told that kind of stuff. So there's been along the ways is just having, just wanting to always want to get better and you know, be better tomorrow than I was today, and continue to have that mindset to move forward. And when you see, when I see my, our employees or the people that, and I'm humbled by a lot of times when they want, they look up to me or they ask me certain questions. If I don't have the answer, I need to go find the answer for them. I need to go ask and search out who has been where we're trying to go or what we're trying to accomplish, who's been there, and how can we take that information and implement it in our business? So I think that's been key in what's helped us scale. And when you can get that mindset throughout the business, throughout those key people that are in key spots, that's, again, that's when they're starting to take the initiative and self-develop themselves, it can move that much faster. And I think that's what we've been able to see some of the success in the last several years, is everybody's having that mindset and everybody's wanting to improve and everybody's wanting to raise up everybody from you know, in a different position to a better level within the business. But also that bleeds into your personal life. So that's, I think, and Chad can probably paint to this, what we've seen in the last several years, even yourself, like, it's in our industry, I think when you really buckle down and worried about the business and want to become the biggest, best business in so many different ways, my personal side, I finally got around to that. And I had to shift that to where that was more of a priority, was my personal journey and my personal mindset. So with doing that the last year and a half, making that as a focus, I've been able to see really good things, because now everything's starting to align, especially when I'm talking to my employees or my guys and we're talking about different things, when they now can not just listen to me of what I'm talking and how to get better, when they actually see the physical differences as well, it seems like they more likely want to join in and try to get better themselves as well. So that's a really cool thing. And I've been on a personal journey it'll be 2 years in June. When I got back from vacation a couple of years ago, I was like, I gotta make a lifestyle change. And I just really started to exercise, work out. And again, this was also through the journey of Tommy, really helped with this side of it when he started to transform a lot of his, I mean, I'm not like bench pressing 500 pounds like that guy and like crazy into some of that stuff, but just wanting to be a better person that for my family, I had to shift that focus to put that on it. And I'm down, you know, 70 pounds or so, but I've added some muscle and I'm in a better spot. But along this journey, within my personal journey, I've seen that that's given me more energy throughout the day, that I've been able to buy my time back. And now I'm that much better of a person for the business, because I got so much more energy to give to the employees, but also to building the business itself. So I can focus on that, and gives me more time to do it.
Yeah. And to your family, because you're a girl dad. You got little girls.
Oh yeah. Two girls.
Yeah. They're going to be very active.
Very proud girl.
You and Chad have youngins, little youngins.
Three and six, two girls. So
mine are 3 and 6 as well. I've got one boy in there. He's 3. So, but no, I think what you said is so powerful. And I think a lot of people can listen. And I think it goes maybe even a little bit deeper than, you know, like, yeah, I think I think Tommy really kicked this off with the whole health journey and all of that stuff. And I know I latched onto that, and I think a lot of people have, which is fantastic. But I think it goes to what you said is, and I learned this from a mentor of mine. So kind of coming full circle here, of Keith Mercurio. Yes, Chris, I don't believe you said this, but yes, mentor of mine. But I was talking about how, you know, leadership is, you know, inspiring people and so on and so forth. And in pure Keith fashion, he gave a very long pause and looked at me and he said, "Well, I think you have it wrong. I think it is you showing up inspired is ultimately what the goal is." And I think that whether it's a health journey, whether it's trying to be a good, better father, better husband, whatever it may be, like, when we are able to show up inspired, that is truly what creates inspiration within the organization. And so, you know, I was actually talking about that this morning. I brought that quote up. It's our job to be inspired. Well, we get inspired when we feel good and we feel healthy and, you know, we're able to do more and our minds are clear and all of that stuff. And I think that's so important, because growing a business is stressful. It takes a lot of time. It can do all of these things that, you know, I know all three of us have gone through, and I'm sure multiple, you know, listeners out there are going through it as well. Like, the best thing you can do, I think, even though it sounds selfish, is to focus on yourself first because if you can show up a better person, you're going to grow your company. You're the barometer of growth.
And you can't help others until you get yourself in that spot and help yourself first, like you said.
100%.
Yeah, what's so interesting, man, I swear to you, this is the God's honest truth, is I remember that Keith Mercurio talking about inspiration versus being inspired. I remember if it was Home Service Freedom, whatever, and I was like, oh my God. So I just had this same conversation yesterday about being inspired. Cause you know, when Tommy and I, when we were flying over to Stagecoach, we sat together for, you know, an hour, and you can only, like, it was fantastic conversation. And he's like, you know, just asking me, he's like, dude, what do you want to do? And he throws about a million ideas at me. And I just said, whatever it is that I do, I gotta be inspired to do it. Like, cause that's what drives me. Cause if I'm passionate about it, like I want to go and learn the thing, you know, like I have to be inspired to go and do something great. But I remember the exact same thing from Keith Mercurio and of saying, like, to say, I want to be an inspiration to people. And he's like, well, that's kind of fucking selfish of you to say that. Like, why don't you worry about just being inspired yourself and that others, you know, look at you as an inspiration. Like, it was just one little thing that I took away from that I was like, man, that actually makes a lot of sense. This is why it's so hard to have Keith on these podcasts, because you question everything that you say. I'm just waiting for him to turn something around on me, because it happens every time.
That inspiration is probably feeds back into like Anna's role switching to, you think? Or
yeah,
I mean, her being more inspired to, like you said, well, to get back into the fun stuff. I mean,
Anna's love language is she wants, well, one, she's, even though she's like a driver, right? She is an A-type personality. She really cares about people and really cares about their growth. And so do I. She just knows how to actually, you know, really like drive it with some, you know, systems and processes and thoughtfulness and things like that. And she is inspired by that. So, you know, we're in a position where this business is going to continue to grow. We have a lot of people relying on us to make good decisions. And when you lose a little bit of that, I think maybe you can lose a little bit of inspiration, right? Like, cause yeah, you don't have as much like freedom to make decisions. And now like getting to kind of take back over day to day has inspired her. I mean, I could tell we got home from Stagecoach. Dude, she was taking meetings before we even left. Tommy did a podcast and she did a meeting before we even left California. And then we got home and she was working till about 8 o'clock last night on things. Like, she came home and got after it.
Great.
But that's like, she's a gangster, man. She's like, but yes, she was kind of re-inspired, you know, to say, sweet man, like, this is my jam. I'm really good at this shit. Like, let me do my thing. And it's inspiring for me to see it. I mean, like, I see that and I'm like, holy crap, this is so cool. I mean, Tommy didn't even fly home with us. He went, we had Michael Franzese on the podcast. You remember Michael Franzese?
Oh, yeah.
So, his driver, Michael's driver came, picked Tommy up from Palm Springs, drove him to Orange County. They did like a lunch meeting and stuff like that. He did a podcast episode last night and then flew back last night. Like, I was like, damn, dude, I had work to do yesterday, but it was nothing on camera or I had to be like on with somebody. It was all internal shit. And I was like, and that inspired me. I was like, God, man, he's not that much younger than me. Like, and he just goes. That, to your point, that's what you're talking about. Like, he doesn't just talk about it. Like, he does it, you know, like, so it is inspiring to watch that. Right. Cause I'm like, damn, dude, like, that's me. Like, I can do these things too. Had I wanted to do that, yes, I could have totally done that. I could have totally done the exact same thing yesterday, but I was like, nah, it's just easier to, you know, work internally. So
yeah, you had to get the sand out of your eyes first before you could.
It's still in my eyes. I promise you, it is like still coming out of my eyes. Like, I've been watering the whole day. I need some Visine. So, well, listen, I told you guys I'd try and stop at the top of the hour. It's the top of the hour. This was an awesome episode. I'll just finish with this. You know, I mentioned it and I didn't say it. Your five F's are your family, faith, finance, fitness, and your fitness is friendship, I believe, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that's really how you live your life, by those five F's. I love it because, listen, we talk about, I still am going to say Tommy stole this from me because he did. Your faith, you know, faith, family, fitness, and finance, you know, are my four pillars. I'm judging myself too every day. Chad knows I journal on these things, right? Did I hit them? Did I not hit them? Take it and make it your own. If you're listening, like, if it's not faith, whatever, but come up with your own letter that works for you, that motivates you, that inspires you, and then measure yourself to those pillars on a daily basis, you know, and you'll start to see how you're showing up on a daily basis.
And that's all I've done is stole it from you guys. And I just added an extra F in there. And I think there's an order to it. I think faith and fitness goes back to Chad's point. you have to get yourself right before you can help others. Yeah. So faith, it's got to be in an order, faith, fitness, then your family comes. I think finance works itself out, you know, friendships and then finance. And friendships is, they don't have to be many. You just have to have the right ones. You have to have that small inner circle. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, it's simplified. It kind of makes the complicated things simple. You start to look at it like, okay, how did I do here? How did I do with this one? How did I do with that one? You know, like I shit the bed today on fitness. Okay. But they're all equally important, and you got to make them all equally important because at the end of the day, you know, yes, we love business too, but man, our families, so we got to make sure we are good for our families. But in order to do to be good at either one of those, you got to show up for yourself.
They all affect each other. So
yeah. You got it, man. And you've been doing a great job of that, dude. So congratulations, man, on your growth. It's admirable. I'm really grateful that you and I have become friends over the last few years. I'm even more grateful that we are partnered together in business. So thank you for letting us be a part of that journey. That means a lot. No, but more importantly to me is that we've gained a relationship out of it. And I'm grateful for that. And that you've been able to come and participate in Rhino X and, you know, and push for that charge award.
Yeah. Oh,
charge awards right there, buddy.
I have to come behind Chad's tutelage. He won it this year. He did a great job.
he's got a couple more years of Rhino X's in.
Oh yeah.
But listen, man, I appreciate you. Keep going, man. I'm excited to watch you continue to do your thing. I mean, you're pushing for 65 mil this year, bro. Like that's incredible. So congratulations to you. And we just really appreciate you giving us, you know, the time, you know, and sharing with the other listeners. Like, Right. Listen, man, it's not like you had something more special than they've got. You just started to move fast, you know, move fast, fail faster, right. Keep trying the things and working on yourself.
Right.
So, any closing words, Chad, or you think we're ready to roll?
I think we're ready to roll. Really appreciate you being on. Fun talking with you. Next time I'm down there in Florida, I'm going to have to hit you up and come check out what you're building down there. It's exciting.
Great. Thank you.
When he goes on his next golf trip and then invites his buddy Chris.
Yeah, we'll set it up.
He'll only bring me so that way he feels like he played really good.
I need you there too then.
I'm just really good at running the music, okay, and losing golf balls. So, well, listen, man, I'm gonna hop off here with you. I appreciate you giving us the time and sharing everything with you. And to all of our listeners, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. You know how to? You want to close us out, Mike?
No 0 days.
There we go. No 0 days.